For the sermon today, I wanted to talk about a very beautiful story that I came across in a book a few days ago. A true story about a very famous painter around the beginning of the 17th century named Peter Paul Rubens. He was a Belgian, and he was one of the greatest painters of Europe in his time. And he was Catholic, although some of his art is not all that modest. And his name is still well known even today. Now, in our society, it's hard to imagine the kind of status that a great painter would have. Our culture isn't really interested in art anymore. But if we think of him the way we would think about some famous movie star or some very, very famous sports player, one of the best in his entire league, that'll give us an idea of the sort of person he was in 17th century Europe. One day he was in Madrid and he was walking through one of the suburbs, surrounded by his art students. And he went into a monastery of monks who lived a very austere life. And this incident probably happened in the year 1628 or 29. That was the only time I could find in his life when he was in Madrid. When he was visiting this monastery, he noticed a very beautiful painting in the chapel of the monastery. It was a painting of a monk on his deathbed. And this great painter could see that whoever had painted it had a great talent and a great, great genius. And Peter Paul Rubens was so impressed that he stopped and just stared at it. And it must have been an extremely beautiful painting if it could impress one of the foremost painters of Europe, and this was at a time when there were thousands of painters all over the place, so to be the best one of the best, took a lot. And he called his students around him to admire it, and one of them said, "Well, who painted this painting?" Now, in those days, painters would normally sign their name in one of the bottom corners of the painting, and so they looked at the lower corners, and they saw that there had been a signature there. But it had been smudged out. It had been deliberately erased. So Peter Paul Rubens asked if he could talk to the abbot of the monastery. And the abbot came, and Rubens said, "Father, can you please tell me who is this great genius who has painted this beautiful painting?" And the abbot said very simply, "The painter is no longer of this world." So Rubens said, "Oh, he's dead, and nobody has ever heard of him. His name should be immortal. What a tragedy that nobody knows who he is. But someday, if his name is ever discovered, he will be even more famous than me. And I am Peter Paul Rubens." Well, when the abbot heard that name, he was shocked, and he looked up and he seemed agitated, and he seemed like he was about to say something. But he stopped himself and he looked down again, as monks do, and he just said, "Sir, the artist is no longer of this world." And Rubens said, "Father, please tell me his name so I can make it known to the whole world so that he will receive the recognition that he deserves for his genius." And the other students around started to chime in, "Yeah, please tell us, who is he?" And the abbot became even more agitated and he started trembling. And his pale face, that was thin from many years of fasting and penance, broke out in a sweat, and he moved like he was about to say something, and he could hardly contain himself. But he held his peace. And the abbot said, So please tell me who he is." And the abbot said, "You misunderstood what I said. When I said that the man who painted this painting is no longer of this world, I didn't mean that he's dead. He's still alive, but he has left the world, and now he is a monk in a monastery." And Reuben said, "Well, Father, please tell me what monastery he's in. I have to go and find him. God has given this man a gift, and he shouldn't hide in a monastery. God gave him a mission that he has to fulfill to paint more paintings like this. I will go and I will find him and tell him the great glory that is waiting for him. And if he won't come out of the monastery and paint for the whole world, I will get the Pope to command him to do that. And of course, Rubens doesn't seem to know very much about the Pope's job or his role in the church, if he thinks that the Pope would do something so absurd, but he was kind of going out on a limb. The abbot said, I will not tell you his name, nor in what monastery he has taken refuge. And he said, listen to me. Do you think that this man didn't have to go through a terrible struggle to leave the world and to renounce the great fame and fortune that he would have had as an artist? Do you think that he didn't have to endure terrible disappointments in this world before he finally learned the hard way that all of the glory of this world is vain? He said, leave the man in peace, in the refuge that he has found from the world and from its sorrows. In any case, even if you found him and tried to talk him into what you have in mind, you would never get anywhere. This is just a temptation. God has called this man to serve him in a monastery, and he will not allow him just to leave. Rubens made one final attempt, and he said, Father, this man is losing an immortal name. And the abbot said, the immortality of this world is nothing in comparison with the immortality of heaven. And Peter Paul Rubens left the monastery silent and absorbed in thought and thinking about what had happened. And as for the abbot, he went back to his little cell and he knelt down and prayed for a few minutes. And then he got up, he picked up his easel and his canvas, his paintbrushes and his jars of paint that he had in his cell, and he threw all of them out the window. And there was a river that flowed under his window, and they all fell into the river and were washed away. The monk felt a brief sadness, and he knelt down again and he prayed for a long time. He was the one who had painted the painting. Now, this story is interesting on several different levels. It shows us, first of all, the conflict between two completely different philosophies, the philosophy of this world and that of heaven. Peter Paul Rubens represented an attitude that was completely worldly, and the abbot had a point of view that was completely supernatural, completely of heaven. And neither could really understand the other or even communicate. Or rather, the abbot could understand Rubens, but Rubens could not understand the abbot's point of view at all. And the abbot was trying to explain to him that what matters is not fame and fortune in this world, but rather sacrifice in this world for the sake of a reward in heaven. And even though Peter Paul Rubens was Catholic himself, he should have understood this, but it seems like he was kind of worldly. And if we want to go to heaven, we have to think the way the abbot does, not the way the painter did. Another interesting lesson of this story is that it shows us the vanity of the world and the peace that we can only find in the service of God. This abbot had lived in the world. He had had the ability to be rich and famous, and yet he knew from experience that this world can't make us happy. And in fact, usually, all we will find in the world is sorrow and tribulation. But the peace that he had found in solitude with God in the monastery was so satisfying to him that even the promise of fame and fortune couldn't draw him away from it. He already knew that his life as a monk was far better than even the greatest fame in this world. So someone might wonder, wasn't he wasting his talent? Hadn't God given him a gift that he should have been using for his glory, as Peter Paul Rubens had said? I think this is one of the most interesting and the most difficult angles of this story. I don't have a simple answer to this question, but again, we can't look at it the way a worldly man does, the way Rubens did. God gave the abbot a great gift of painting so that the abbot would use it to glorify God. That's obvious. He could have used it to paint beautiful religious paintings that would glorify God. But for reasons that we don't know, this man had concluded that God wanted him to glorify him with this gift by giving it back to God, by offering it up, and by sacrificing the fame and the honor that he could have had from using it. And that sacrifice gave God more glory than the paintings that he could have produced. But it takes a very deep spirit of faith to see that, as this man obviously had. What gives God glory is not doing what seems in human wisdom to give God honor, but to honor God in the way that he wants us to honor him. This doesn't mean, of course, that in every case when someone has a talent, that he should honor God with it by not using it at all. Of course not. But it just means that in this case, for a reason that we don't know, the abbot had come to the conclusion that God wanted him to offer this gift directly to him as a sacrifice. And so that's what he did. It might be that the abbot thought that this gift would lead him into sin or into worldliness. Maybe he thought that he would end up giving in to pressure from the world to paint scandalous paintings, as unfortunately Rubens has. Or in some other way, he thought it would make it harder for him to save his soul, or it would become an obstacle to his advancement in holiness. So rather than take that chance, he left the world, and he only painted in order to make his monastery chapel beautiful, until even that became a source of temptation when Rubens showed up, and that's when he got rid of all of his painting equipment and apparently never painted again. Let us have the same spirit as that holy man. Let us be ready to get rid of anything, no matter how precious it is to us, if it can in any way endanger our salvation. Let us also have a contempt for the spirit of the world. Remember that all of our treasure really is in heaven, and that that's what is really worth striving for. Whether Peter Paul Rubens saved his soul or not, I don't know. When you look at some of his paintings, you tend to wonder. But when I think about what the abbot did and what he said, I have very little doubt that he made it. Let us follow his example. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.